Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine all beloved Mojuba Olodumare, Mojuba Olorum, Mojuba Oluwa, Mojuba Olojo, Oni, Oni Omo Olofin, Otula Omo Olofin, Oruni Omo Olofin, Ire Mi Omo Olofin. I praise God, the Creator. I praise the God of the heavens. I praise the God of worldly affairs. I praise the God of today. Today is the child of God. Tomorrow is the child of God. Day after tomorrow is the child of God. My good fortune is the child of God, and so shall it be. Ashe, Asheo, and Ashe. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. It is my personal place of power and understanding, that place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. Olodumare Mokiloni Mowogun Merinaye, Mother, Father, Creator God, I greet the new day. I greet the four directions that create the new world. And so it is. Today is Tuesday, August 15th, 2017, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, High Potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, most enchanted, and some say most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down that great Obeya stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, minerals. As always, I'm humbled and honored here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. I appreciate those of you who are already with me here on the phone line. I appreciate those of you who are with us online by way of our website page at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. Be mindful that my chat room is open. If you are using your laptop, your desktop, your device, you can visit the show page and chat with us, communicate with us by way of chat. You can also, as always, during our live airing broadcast, call us at area code 347-215-8967. Listen in and call in at 347-215-8967. This is also your microphone. Do press the number one on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to open your mic, invite you into this square circle of gods and goddesses, into this sacred space, here live on Block Talk Radio /the-divine-prince. Be mindful, we don't share private personal readings here on the show. If you request a reading or consultation, do send me a direct email to divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. You can visit my website virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. As always, we begin by saying, by invoking by praying, by meditating. Eshu Alegwana Kosi Wari Awo on Lo Utoni Iwo Ada Asanbo Osi O Batala Mi Itan Mi Ibo Onilio Aban Eshu. Eshu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one versed in mysteries uses truth to own you. He causes scatter to feed poverty. O Batala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Eshu. Abobu, Aboye, Aboshishe, Ashe. May our Ebos reach our room. May our Ebos be accepted. May the Ebos allow what we desire to come to pass. Ashe. I say we speak truth to power, knowledge to wisdom, activated in our demonstration, for spiritual knowledge and power lies in its efficacy, its ability to produce and manifest powerful, reliable, tangible manifestation and results right here and right now in this present moment in time space. All else is foolishness, ego, vanity, dialogue, and conversation. Until it becomes something that we activate, that we manifest, that we demonstrate in how we live at the crossroads, then it's just lip service. Then it's just a game. And today we're continuing our conversation about wars and rumors of war. The constant battling that is first evident, as all things are evident in nature. We acknowledge in Voodoo nature above all things first. Nature is that direct manifestation of the divine, the creator. Today in particular, we acknowledge Obatala. We acknowledge Iyami. We acknowledge Egungun. We acknowledge Santana. We acknowledge nature and the divinity of nature first in all things. And please forgive me, phone lines. I'll be with you momentarily. Give me 120 seconds and I'll be with you. We, when going into battle, first initiate, first move from, first take our position from the head. We do all things first in the head. It's in your head before it comes out of your mouth. It's in your head before it manifests on paper, in the plan, before it makes its way to the keypad into your device. It comes first from consciousness, from the knowable, unknowable, from that vast universe that exists, some would say in between your ears, in a literal sense. But consciousness expands beyond physicality. So there's room to understand that our own individual consciousness expands beyond just the basic seven chakras, beyond the basic commonly referred to energy centers, focal points that rest within the body. Because again, you're grounding the power into the laws of nature as they apply to physicality. There are laws of nature that apply also to spirit. And if that's too grand an idea for you to grasp, your emotions, your thoughts, your intuitive, some would even say your animalistic nature is something that's not easily discernible. It's not physical, if you will. It rests in those chakra systems, in those energy bodies, in that spirit body that transcends the body. So when we look at our head in Yoruba terms, in Yoruba language, Obatala governs, but it is our Ori that we seek true power It is our Ori that allows us to connect with, interconnect with our spirit bodies and the spirit realm in any sense of consciousness, with any sense of direction. Prophet Joshua, your line is open. Alafia, divine, all blessed. What have you to say today? Peace and blessing. Your hand is raised, beloved. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I
gave
did.
You a long intro to give you opportunity to speak in.
All is a blessing. I'm here, and I do have some things to say. Actually, I was just thinking about what you were just talking about, how operating from your head space, and I can't help but to think about what's going on right now, currently, in the news, what's happening in Charlottesville, with the President of the United States, his reactions and actions, just the news, and I mean, the topic is rumor, and rumors of war. I would say that that's a long topic of what's going on with North Korea, us supposedly engaging in that situation. And I would say that currently now, like, I see a lot of people, I mean, a lot of news forms or the way we receive our information currently right now, presently, we have to be very careful about how we receive and understand what we're looking at and understand what we are digesting. For the fact that a lot of this is operating in ego, a lot of it. A lot of it is operating out of self-worth, just confusion promoting self, and it's not coming from a real, authentic space. And I just wanted to make sure that people understand that we need to make sure we focus right now during these times where people are placating fear, placating all these other different energies to manipulate people and to control people and to get people to do certain things, to really look at what's going on, really do the homework, really do the research, really try to understand from all perspectives what's going on right now. And really, I mean, spiritually, mentally, physically, and understand that at the end of the day, it really is, it's going to really be up to us and how we react to these things, how the end of all this will be. And understand how power that we hold.
I absolutely agree with that. It could even, if I could add to that, it's a distraction. Often when these great events take place, and you know the world is in an emotional state, if you will, it's often a distraction for something else. And I'm not suggesting that it's always a deliberate distraction, but I do think it is often an opportunity for people to be more deliberate in their attempts to move forward their agendas, move toward their platform under the guise of these events, while at the same time creating a distraction, keeping us from focusing on what's most important, what's most needed, focusing on what might even be more urgent, what might be more pertinent. We then begin to divert resources, divert energy from things that are important to getting in our feelings, as Brother Joshua suggested, getting in our emotions, and then that becomes a distraction. I also think that there's a point where this energy then takes on a life of its own, can then become a gin unto itself. And so then the energy grows and spreads. So what might not have been your focus yesterday in terms of the racism or the injustices that are happening every day all around us, becomes your primary focus today based on the events, you know, what's happening around us. So I think that's a great point. I've suggested in other previous shows that sometimes it's as simple as, you know, going through the drive-thru or getting that phone call from a friend or a family member that drops an energy into your lap that you weren't necessarily prepared for or thinking about, did not necessarily even have a guard up to, and then that becomes a part of your energy. And so now you're tense or worked up or emotional or stressed at a subconscious level, because it's not always something that we're conscious of in the moment. Because if we were conscious of in the moment, we would take action in the moment to block that thing, to prevent that spirit form, that energy form, from entering our space. I do think that it also allows an opportunity for us to address some of the energy and the words and the concepts and the fears that are being sort of drummed up right now in society, and address it in a way that's holistic, that's helpful, that's empowering. My show is all about result-oriented work. How do we take what's happening and the energy around what's happening and not allow it to become the individual distraction or the distraction at the communal level, and then continue to move our agenda scores, what we know to be true, pertinent, and most important? How then do we move that forward so that this then doesn't become the next trend? And I invite my other callers, please, if you have a question or comment, raise your hand, press the number one. Brother Joshua and I are not necessarily here to dominate the conversation, but if you all don't participate, we got plenty to say.
Yeah, I do want to say that, like what you said, like I don't want people to think that, you know, this is, we're not saying don't get in your feelings. We're not saying don't get, just be aware of what's going on. Be conscious of what's going on. Be, and also be aware of what you're doing and how you're, what you're feeding, and what you're, if you're feeding ego or if you're feeding your higher self. You really want to come to a conversation. The only way to come to a conversation, I mean, what we're talking about, a lot of this is racism and racist elements that are clearly man-made and was put here, was put out. It's an illusion, something that's a distraction from what's really going on, so we cannot really have this conversation or have a conversation. We're saying have the conversation, but have it with a clear mind. Have it with an understanding that people are not going to understand what you have to say a lot of times. Have an understanding where you may have to break things down to people to the point where you maybe it goes beyond what you feel like you normally should have to go. But I feel like it's needed in a sense where people are blind. There's a lot of blinded people out here that don't understand, that really doesn't understand what's going on, why it's happening, or foolishly, and I would say ignorantly, being that they've lived in America, or these individuals, if they have lived in America. But it's something that's real. It's not nothing that's artificial. Their lack of understanding is real, just like your experience in our experience in this country is real. So let's not de-legitimize anything in the conversation, but let's have the conversation wholly and completely. And I mean, and that's really what I feel needs to happen. And I just don't see it happening from our leadership. I don't see it happening from a podium. I don't see it happening from a church pulpit. I don't see it happening from any mosque or any other spiritual outlet that's operating in ego. It's going to happen from an organic environment, an organic source, in order for it to be authentic, and also in order for it to be influential and have an impact on this world that we live in.
Now let me provide a formula for that, if I can. Now, all things first have to start at the individual level. The battle is first within you. You, the listener, you, the person who enjoys these shows, you, the person who's operating in the realm of spirit, the realm of culture, the realm of consciousness. I'm often surprised by how many of us sort of perpetuate these new ideas, which aren't really new, these new ways of approaching things, particularly in the realm of social media, but don't have that interaction within their families, in their communities, within your own network. So this is a time to be working with the Black Tourmaline. This is a time to be working Bow and Black Obsidian. This is a time to be opening up those centers of truth within ourselves first. What do you truly believe? What are you truly operating in? Are you being authentic to that? And then to reach out, just as we did in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 50s, during other times of great upheaval in society, where we saw transformation taking place, where we saw rebellion taking place. And many of us begin in a state of rebellion first within ourselves. We rebel against the abuse. So we rebel against the forced religious indoctrination that was placed upon us. We rebel against our family or our community's political way of looking at something and not allowing us to find our individual selves, our individual destiny along the way. And that is the first battle in this war, if you will, that we all face. So where we can be authentic first there, and again, as I always mention, DNA was critical for me. Not that I couldn't have found consciousness without DNA, not that I was not content and okay with voodoo and how my life was manifesting without that information, but it truly changed my direction and my focus. It gave legitimacy to my platform. It gave legitimacy to what I already knew, what I already understood inwardly about who I am and what my role is here and what I'm supposed to give during my time span here on Mother Earth. So the first chapter, if you will, of that battle, of doing that work, is confronting that within ourselves, being strong enough to confront our own weaknesses about prejudice, about race, about our own ideology, about what God says and what God is and how we should, and then how others should live. And then, as you said, Joshua, begin to have that conversation with your parents, your siblings, your family, your friends. I've noticed a way of dealing with this where we strive to sort of rebuke, distance ourselves from, ostracize ourselves from that path. But then we reinvent some of those same ideals anew. For instance, so the heterosexual society treats a particular way. Excuse me. So there's a prejudice there. There's a negative feeling there. There's a discrimination there. And so sometimes in the gay community, the response to that is to do the exact same thing, but in reverse. So we take the extreme position in the reverse to the thing that we say that we're battling, to the thing that we say we're up against, to the thing that we say we're not trying to be. I remember when I first left home and went out into the world, my battle was not to be my dad, not to be anything like my dad, not to remember anything like my dad. And so in doing so, almost everything that was me was a reflection of that, was a direct response to that, was based on that thought process first. So inevitably, he was always present. He was always there. So to separate ourselves from the problem, we have to first see ourselves in the problem. And that's not a Western, American, Eurocentric, UK way of looking at things. We always look for the outside source for the problem, the scapegoat, the target. And so we pick a race. We pick a class of people. You know, we pick a particular sex. Well, the problem is the woman. No, the problem is the man. No, the problem is the heterosexuals, you know, who are having babies out of wedlock. And no, the problem is the homosexual, you know, who's not, you know, somehow following the will of three particular religions, you know, in the place of a global context, you know, of world culture and ideas. So the battle first begins with ourselves and how truthfully we're willing to stand up. And that's why I call on Black Obsidian. That Black Obsidian is a truth stone. That bow, I call it, is the black hole of the mineral kingdom. So let's look at the black hole. It draws in everything, good and bad, light and darkness, gravity even, light even, is all sucked into the black hole. And on one side, we see that as a destructive force, a powerful force. On the other end of the black hole is where everything reemerges again somewhere else in time and space as pure light, keeping in mind that energy is not created or destroyed, but recycled, recreated. We take it from one thing, our food, for instance, goes into our body, becomes an energy, comes out the other end as what we call a waste product, but then it goes into nature. It becomes a part of the fertilization and the breaking down process of the earth. So energy is not created or destroyed within itself, but recycled throughout the universe. So even our negative things, when I pray to release that, when I meditate to release that, when I use mantras to release that, I always invoke that they would be recreated, that the universe would take that energy and reapply it, rebalance it somewhere else in creation where it needs to be. It's another reason why we often suggest not working with Bo without a equal or greater counterpart of light, meaning quartz crystal, selenite wand, something that has a stronger light energy that can clear the energy that Bo brings to the surface. Bo can bring the truth to the surface. Bo can bring the problem to the surface. So let's say you're using Bo to discover a new problem, to discover a new mathematical equation. So Bo helps to bring you through the cloudiness of discovery, the thinking process of trying to make sense of that mathematical equation, and then help the answer to come to the surface. And then you have to apply that. So when we're talking about negative energy, blocked energy, you know, abuse, harm, you know, crimes against nature and man and woman and child, then that energy comes to the surface. So when we are in denial, in some ways, Joshua, you were suggesting a pattern of being in denial or not being able to see the forest for the trees or not being cognizant in the moment. Many people are walking through society sort of on autopilot with blinders on. We don't want to see. Some of that is orchestrated. I think to some degree our societal leaders don't want us to see clearly. We might be in a greater state of panic if we could see clearly. We might act a little bit more aggressively if we could see more clearly. So the balance there is being able to see, but then knowing what to do with that. It's interesting to me when we our self-proclaimed practitioners claim to be able to see, but then they can't make sense of the vision. Another example of that is the church reference of speaking in tongues. Everybody's babbling, but nobody's interpreting. And even if you understand the scriptural context for tongues, there's supposed to be an interpretation. It is not about a free for all. It is not about what I feel, what's organic without any purpose. Local callers, I love my local callers. I love New Orleans, 504. If I ever have more than one 504 hand raised, I'm going to always call your first three numbers out. But I think I have memorized this number, and I'm going to say this is Priestess Batoy. 504-942, you have your hand raised. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Latoya. Hi, Prince. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, all of the blessings.
Yes, thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you and give gratitude for bringing light to that area of accepting responsibility for the things that manifest around you, starting in your mind, even when they are areas of disease or when you're, you know, kind of hiding yourself around family or changing and altering how you work, things you say, what you believe around other people. This my generation, you know, in that area of 25 to 35, I think there is, I almost want to say, kind of like a sickness where we like to tell everyone else that it's their responsibility on how they receive us, you know. You think about me is a reflection of you. Yes, that's true to an extent, but you are also responsible for the image that you relay to people, especially if that image is flexible. You know, if you practice one speech or one behavior or one religion or anything inside of your family group, but then when you're with your friends, you completely practice something else, you are responsible for the image and the things that you are putting out there in the world. We can't change what is happening with the people around us or with how people are responding to us if we don't accept responsibility for our own behaviors, our own shadows, our own demons. If we try to pretend like those things and falsities don't exist, then we're really kind of deciding that, well, I'm going to try to take this, you know, good vibes only, quote unquote, you know, all positive or stay out of my space type of mentality. But you aren't taking responsibility for your own toxicity, your own demons, your own issues. I think those things are insanely important, first and foremost, when you're trying to put yourself in a more spiritual presence, that you recognize that you come with your own battles. You know, there's heaven and hell, God and devil inside of all of us. And if we don't recognize those dualities, then we really do ourselves an injustice when trying to participate in groups and be present for different, you know, rituals or outings or anything that you try to practice on a group nature. You really bring that toxic level to it if you try to hide or shy away from places that make you uncomfortable, situations and conversations that may not fit your idea for yourself.
I absolutely agree. 100%. I wish I had my applause button set up because that is on point. You also said, you know, spoke to a generation that sometimes I'm known to have difficulty speaking to because it says that I'm being too harsh. I'm being too structured. I'm being too traditional sometimes when I'm interacting with that age group. But the reality is if the elders don't leave a clear roadmap, then those that do come behind us are sort of happen to find their way uniquely and individually, and we're losing collective power in that. Whereas we're seeing other communities come together in a more unified sense, and it doesn't negate that they know that they have individual conquests, individual areas to work on, individual things that they're trying to accomplish, but they can come together at a more unified level to accomplish things that affect the whole in a way that I would love to see us do to a greater degree. And if I were to personalize that, I'm speaking specifically to the voodoo, spiritual, Ifa, Sangoma, Akan community right here in New Orleans. But I'm also speaking to the rainbow community, to the gay community. I, as a gay practitioner, often feel completely isolated when it comes to the gay community. I have the least amount of gay friends out of all the friends that I actually have. And I'm finding that when it comes to choosing, even though I say it's not a choice, because the heterosexual community says, well, you choose to be gay. No, we don't choose to be homosexual. Gay is a lifestyle. Homosexual is who you are. You're either born that or you're not. So let's be clear when I say often within the gay community, I'm forced to have to choose between being gay and being spiritual. Somehow we have thus taken on the heterosexual stereotype that we're abominable, that we're not spiritual, that we can't be religious, that we can't have this sort of conscious mindset and then be gay too. Even in the quote-unquote black conscious community, I've run into many Rastas, Muslims, Hebrews, Kemetic folk who were shocked when they met me, who said, oh, I didn't know people like you existed. Well, what does that mean? Wow. Well, I didn't know that a gay person could be conscious, could be that black, could be that political. So we've got an obligation. Something else, too, I wanted to speak to before we get snatched off air at 45. something that you invoked in me to say, even though you didn't say it, you kind of spoke to it. You were speaking in context of the spirit path and happened to come out in the public, come out in the open. And I feel the same way about the closeted homosexual. I have a particular pet peeve for the closeted homosexual, particularly the modern day DL person, who I call liar.
Yes, the idea of spirituality and homosexuality is like a whole nother 30-minute, 45-minute show, because it contrasts to your experience being an elder in the spiritual community. My experience with the younger generation, it's the idea of a spiritual nature is almost dominated by black queer, black homosexuals, people of even non-black people of color. They are attaching more to that idea of needing and requiring a level of spiritual freedom and spirituality and able to practice what they feel like is their origination, because they've been shunned and shut out by the community, by the older, the pro-black community, the conscious community, the church community. They've been so shut out that they are almost grasping at strings. And that's where we start to see that idea that, no, I'm a free thinker, I'm spiritual on my own, I don't need a system, because they don't feel like they can be accepted inside of any system like voodoo or New Orleans voodoo and hoodoo and things like that. They feel like that those types of practices are so dogmatic based off of only their what they think, not because they've spoken with elders, not because they've sat at the foot at any baba or anything like that, but because they assume. So there are no elders that are reaching out and talking to these young homosexuals, the young black homosexuals.